Shenanigans. Truth. Lies. Shenanigans.
Welcome to the Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast. My co-hosts today are a couple of pet lovers like myself, Gianni Storm and Robbie.
Hey, everybody.
All right, so before we get into this conversation on emotional support pets, we've all had pets throughout our lives. So if you had to pick a favorite out of all your pets, a favorite out of all the pets that you've had in your life, who would you pick?
Oh, my gosh. That is a hard question, Neil. It's like picking a favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I'm going to say Sasha, and it's not really because she's my current dog. I know she's a monster. No, but her because of the bond, I would say that me and Sasha have built. We've been through a lot together. So okay. Yeah, my Chachi.
Okay.
All right. It would have to be my Freya. She absolutely was just a warm, loving companion. My kids knew her. Right. My granddaughter got to meet her, and she was just ever so gentle and loving. And she's just a smart, obedient dog.
Cute.
Just everything about her was wonderful. If there's any dog that I would ever want to see a litter of puppies from, it was her.
So aww, Freya was a dog. Sasha is a dog. I love my current dog, River.
River.
I love Phoenix too. River is my current favorite. Don't tell them though.
Horrible.
But, too cute. But my all-time favorite is Ebony. And I got her when she was like in the literal palm of my hand, like almost right out the womb. And then she was just beautiful, aww, little tiny little thing, and has so many memories with her. She was just a really loving dog. She was like a black lab mix.
Oh, cute.
She was.
That is so cute.
Absolutely amazing. Excellent
picture. Yeah, show me.
Yeah. Oh.
This image is just not long before she passed away, actually.
Oh, cute.
She looks a lot like my Freya. Yeah. A lot like my Freya.
Labs are amazing dogs, then. That's what you guys are saying.
Oh, labs are
great. Oh, absolutely. Dogs. Yeah, 100. Oh, yeah, 100. I mean, mine were shepherd retriever mixes and just ideal companions.
Very loving dogs. Very loving dogs. And Bernedoodles. Bernedoodles are weird. They're fun and crazy.
Thanks, all right, buddy.
So, Gianni, let's talk about emotional support pets.
Yes, let's get into it. Lately, I've been reflecting kind of on how much we all lean on our pets, me especially. Our pets, furry, feathered, or otherwise, stand by us like no one else. Recently, news from many countries have pointed out a loneliness epidemic, with so many people in the world really feeling isolated and disconnected from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this had me thinking, what does our reliance on our pets for emotional support really say about us?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I wanted to mention there's a New York Times article. Pet owner Barbara Steinberg says she would not be alive today without her parrot, Harry. I know a parrot. She, Miss Steinberg, she actually has bipolar disorder, and she depends on this parrot for over 29 years for laughs, companionship, and her well-being. So more people are facing mental health problems like Barbara, her bipolar disorder, anxiety, depression, showing that it is getting harder for many of us to find emotional support from one another, from people, from humans. So relying on our pets for emotional support is a sign of deep loneliness in society and dependency issues. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
I'm going to just say truth to start out. I mean, it's definitely a sign of deep loneliness and societal issues.
What?
There's no question. We have an issue in society in general with mental health.
Okay.
But
we do.
To some degree, I'm of the camp that we're getting a little too, I don't want to say soft as a society, but everything is a mental health issue today. Every little thing that we deal with is some mental health issue, some problem. I do believe that mental health is an issue. I've experienced people with bipolar disorder. So I know it exists. I just don't think everyone who is diagnosed these days actually has mental health disorders. And I think it's one of those things where you like cry wolf, where if you say everybody has it, then the people that really need it aren't getting what they need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of bothering me.
TikTok helps with that, with people self-diagnosing,
self-diagnosing
mental health. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think as a society, we're getting a little overboard. But with that said, as far as your question about pets, yeah, I think we are far too dependent on pets and random things to solve our emotional issues that we have. You know, our sadness, when we get sad, we're depending on pets to help us. When we get depressed or if something happens, a lot of people go to hoarding. They look to things to kind of emotionally solve their problem. We really need to be looking at human connection to solve some of these problems where we're so focused on things that really can't fix the problem or solve the problem. I get it when you have somebody who's on the spectrum or something like that, because they look at the world a little bit differently. And so human connection may or may not be a solution for them. But most people thrive on human connection or need human connection. And instead of seeking out that human connection, we're looking to our pets and our dogs and all these other things when we're feeling lonely. Dogs help greatly with loneliness, but so do humans. So do people. And people can actually talk back, can empathize, can help solve the problems. And I think that's what we need to be looking for more.
What do you feel like is an example of somebody who's too dependent on their animals?
Good, Rob.
Shut-ins. Yeah, absolutely. Because at that point, what they're doing is choosing to interact with their animal companions. And it's an avoidance tactic. They are afraid of social interaction. So they rely on their animals for that type of socialization. But they can only reciprocate in a limited fashion.
It's true.
If you're interacting with another person, it can either just be an ear to listen, some empathy, or you could be using them as a soundboard just so that sometimes just even getting it off your chest, sharing that with someone. I know confiding secrets in your pets is kind of fun too. Or it's just like, hey, I know you're never going to tell anyone, and I feel crappy about this thing that I've done. But I'm going to confess to you. Wonderful.
Yeah. True.
There's also the potential for creating a codependency. Like you mentioned, Johnny, if it's anxiety that someone has, and it's a spectrum, right? There are people at both ends of the spectrum when we're talking about anxiety. There's anxiety is crippling for some, anxiety is a crutch for some.
That's true.
If you have a codependency at the lower end of the spectrum, it can snowball into bigger social issues for people. I understand that there are biological benefits to having these therapy animals. And like Neo said, it's for those who need it. Absolutely. For those who need it, there are tons of benefits, but I think that it's been misused in many ways. And
agreed.
Johnny, you alluded to TikTok. I remember seeing something like someone bringing a peacock on a plane. It's my support animal.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not your support animal. Absolutely
not. It is.
It's
colorful.
Johnny, it's not.
What?
It's not. My alligator. I think we did a story about this a couple of years ago where someone had an alligator as their
support
animal.
But come on, man. When I look into his cold reptilian eyes, I can't envision him biting off my face. He just wants to love me.
That is funny, actually.
Yeah. So to me, like, that's just, you're pushing the line at that point. There's definitely some benefits to it, but we need to do it like anything else in life. It needs to be implemented responsibly.
Yeah. To Robbie's point about social media, these mental health solutions become trends.
Yeah.
You're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. You don't really have a mental health disorder. You're not really depressed. You may have been sad that day, or you might have, you know, I'm in therapy, right? And I talk to my therapist all the time. There are days when I'm sad, but I'm not clinically depressed. I don't get in and out of depressed states as people with true mental health issues do. And so I wouldn't consider myself having a mental health issue. But we as a society, we look at these TikToks, we look at these social media posts, and we want to be part of that. We want to feel connected to that in some way for some reason. And so we say that we have, you know, if I'm sad, now I go on TikTok and say I'm depressed. When you're clinically
lately
depressed.
It's been autistic lately. People have been saying that, like autism.
Yeah. Tourette's is another one that's been exploited too.
That's right.
Yeah.
People have fun with
that. Yeah. That's interesting.
But when you're exploiting it for likes, that's horrible. You're a horrible person.
Yeah. And you can tell on TikTok the people that are doing that.
Yeah. Hey, look, I set up my camera and I'm having one of my episodes. Come on, man. No, you're not having an episode on cue. Keep the camera on you for some time. You didn't just set it up and, oh, I'm triggered. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Man, you lie.
I think our younger generations can't tell, though, because they're like, oh, my God, that person's crying on camera. But I was going to also make mention that another reason for you guys' point about why people are more dependent on animals, maybe it's my generation or a generational thing, because, you know, my age, I'm 28. I'm 28. By this age, I'm sure that most people like would get married or try to like settle down, or just our traditional way of family is different. So my child, in a sense, is Sasha, my dog. So I think that that kind of contributes to the loneliness and contributes to us having this dependency on our pets.
It's definitely generational, because you guys are a bunch of powder puffs.
Oh, emotionally. Oh, man.
You, millennials are...
That's
we're
Gen
still
Z.
Tough.
Millennials, you guys are on the edge, though.
We're on the edge,
Gen
though.
Zers, oh, my God. You guys, those
no,
Gen Zers.
Woo!
I can't.
So emotional.
Everybody has an issue. Every single person has an emotional issue. But on top of that, you know, and I agree with the pets and the loneliness thing, but on top of that, right, people who have true emotional problems dealing with wanting to harm themselves, they're getting overlooked in all of these people trying to be, you know, oh, I'm depressed, I'm feeling sad, I might do something to myself. When they're not really in those states, they're not really feeling like that. They're just kind of like mimicking, right? And so the people who are really having problems, it's hard to recognize, because you sort of say, oh, there they go again. There are those Gen Zers saying they're having problems. Oh my goodness. But then when someone's having a real issue, a real problem, we're not recognizing it because we're just putting it into that basket.
Cat.
But
yeah,
I would never diminish somebody's cry for help, though, because...
And that's the challenge.
Because everybody's depression, everybody's call for help with depression starts with just a small call for help. When you're on the cusp, when you're just starting, so I would never diminish anyone's real attempt to seek help.
Yeah.
And yeah, you don't want it to be lost in white noise. You absolutely don't want that. But anyone that comes forward needs that attention. They all do.
That's what I was going to ask too. Like when it comes to Neo's point about, you know, people crying for help and like the boy who cried wolf with Gen Z kind of energy, what if that is their way? Like, what if it's they're crying on camera and it's so like awkward and it's like, okay, they want attention so bad.
How would you know the difference?
So because the difference for me is if I needed help, I wouldn't engage our audience right now to say, I need help. Because that's an empty cry. But if I were to call Neo and say, dude, I need help.
Yeah.
There's a difference. At that point, I'm doing it for me because I need it. If you're putting it out on social media, you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for the likes and the hearts and the validation. So you need to hear that you're special. Okay. Well, there's other ways to do it. You know, do something great. Become special. Don't play the woe is me. But if you need help, reach out to a friend. Don't make a video. Don't make a short. Don't make it a post. Reach out to someone that you trust. Reach out to someone that you know. And if you don't know any of those people, reach out to a service. Yeah.
That's a good point, Rob. Actually get help.
Yeah. But it's tough because to Gianni's point, you know, this era, social media is the way we communicate with each other. Social networks is how we get word out or speak to others. You know, we're not calling anymore. We're texting. And I think it's part of the reason that so many people are slipping through the cracks now, because, you know, the suicide rates have gone up drastically. And I think part of the reason is because we're not recognizing the people that really need help, because we can't tell the difference between people who are just playing a role, especially with social media. We just can't figure it out. But Johnny, I don't think we heard your thoughts on societal loneliness.
Do we have societal deep loneliness? I think we do. Absolutely, I think we do. Besides, like we talked about this social media driving us apart when it was really supposed to drive us together. But I still disagree. I don't think that we rely too much on our pets. I think a bond between a person and their pet is healthy. I think where it becomes codependent is when you have no friends at all whatsoever. And you can. I haven't seen that example. I'm going to be honest.
You know people with emotional therapy pets?
Not too many. Like one or two, but not personally. And they do need them, though. They actually need them. Like they take medication or whatever they're going
anxiety.
Through. Whatever condition. Yeah.
And so they...
Sometimes it's a personality disorder, too, like PTSD.
Do you think that by depending on these pets, that there's a diminished capacity for people to cope with stress and emotional challenges? Because they're kind of like depending on their pets to take it all away, make them feel better. But in some ways, humans need to learn to cope with certain difficult situations, with certain stressful situations, because that's just part of life. I mean, are these dependencies on pets diminishing that capacity?
I think that definitely that can be a possibility, but that can be a possibility with people who do gaming or people who are into sports. Like that, you can use anything as a crutch. Mm-hmm. But I almost feel like that's the opposite. I feel like animals help, because then you meet people who are super into their animals. Like this guy literally walking in front of our window right now. He's always with his animals. He's always with his pets. And I think that he talks to me because I have a dog. And then we talk to our other pit bull neighbor person.
Creates
connections. So it's almost like, yeah.
It's a bridge I haven't to seen human the opposite. Connection.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah. I haven't seen the opposite where people are so obsessed with their animals. I've only seen people who get a lot of animals. Like they just add to the collection, like a tattoo. And I'm too.
I mean, there's people who hoard animals. Man. Yeah. And they abuse them and they don't feed them. Yeah. I've seen like people with 50 cats and.
Yeah. That to me can be, I can consider that maybe an emotional dependency.
Yeah.
But that's hoarding.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So we talked about how we're too dependent on our animals in society. And I'm going to close it out. Relying on our pets for emotional support is a sign of deep loneliness in society and dependency issues. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans?
I stand by truth. If it's a reliance on your animal, that absolutely. I think that we've outlined a lot of wonderful scenarios where animals enrich our lives and serve a meaningful purpose. But if you rely on it, I'm going to stick with truth on it.
Okay.
Jenny, you made some really great points on, for example, gaming could be a dependency. There's lots of dependencies and coping mechanisms that we all have. And so pets may be one of them for some people. So I think you might have changed my mind. I was on the truth side, but your points are valid. And so I think I'm going with shenanigans. I think I'm on the fence on this one. I do think
on the fence.
I still stand by Gen Zers or Powder Puffs emotionally. but
Lord.
But with that being said, I think it's a coping mechanism that works for some people. And I do think it's overdone, which is why I'm on the fence. I'm on shenanigans.
Shenanigans. And I think it's lies, because I still have yet to see a good example of how people are too dependent on their pets.
Yeah, I certainly started this conversation in truth, but you did make some really good points.
Sweet.
Well, that's it for this week's episode. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check us out on Pods Network, PODZnetwork.com. There's some really great podcasts on there, like that show that effed me up, Forensic Mythology, and shit that goes on in our heads. Really, really great podcast, Pods Network, PODZnetwork.com. All right, before we go, I got to thank my co-hosts this week, Rob B., Gianni Storm. But most importantly, I got to thank you for listening to our shenanigans. See you next time. TLS Show, coming to your live from the TLS Show.